We are just 1 week away from Election Day. During the pandemic, millions of Americans are choosing to vote by mail. But will your ballot make it in on time?
So it really varies around the country, and it also varies, I think, importantly, from week to week.
Our team tracked the turnaround times and will share where the slowdowns have been taking place. Plus, after a dismal Monday on Wall Street, what will it take to fuel a rebound? Our markets editor will have some insight. And puppies on the move in the pandemic, the people who take flight and hit the road to deliver dogs to their new homes. It's Tuesday, October 27th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News.
On this vote, the yeas are 52, the nays are 48. The nomination of Amy Coney Barrett of Indiana to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States is confirmed.
Last night's Senate vote paved the way for Judge Amy Coney Barrett to become Justice Barrett, sworn in at an outdoor White House ceremony.
The oath that I have solemnly taken tonight means at its core that I will do my job without any fear or favor, and that I will do so independently of both the political branches and of my own preferences.
Our Supreme Court correspondent Jess Braven explains the significance of her arrival.
She represents a very, very, very significant change at the Supreme Court, which once had a durable liberal minority of four justices, meaning that sometimes when one of the conservatives on the court saw things their way, they might pull out a victory. Those will become much less frequent with a 6-3 conservative majority on the Supreme Court anchored by Justice Barrett and two other Donald Trump appointees.
Among the high-profile cases ahead for Justice Barrett is a challenge to the Affordable Care Act on November 10th. The sounds of rolling protests in Philadelphia following the killing of Walter Wallace Jr. The black man was fatally shot by police during an incident Monday that was recorded and shared on social media. Police say officers fired after Wallace refused orders to drop a knife and instead moved toward them. Wallace's father told the Philadelphia Inquirer his son was dealing with mental health issues. More than 100,000 people are under evacuation orders and two firefighters badly hurt as fast-moving wildfires scorch Southern California. Strong winds are making it difficult to get the fires under control. Tropical storm Zeta brought strong winds and heavy rain to Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula overnight. It's forecast to strengthen back into a hurricane, with landfall near the Louisiana-Mississippi border possible tomorrow night. A full agenda on today's earnings calendar. We'll hear from pharmaceutical giants Eli Lilly, Merck, and Pfizer. Microsoft, 3M, and Caterpillar also report their quarterly earnings today. This follows a down day on Wall Street yesterday. Here's our markets editor, Quinton Webb, on what's driving the slump and where earnings fit in.
So there are a couple of big macro drivers of markets at the moment. One is obviously, of course, the coming US election. The second, of course, is where we're headed with the coronavirus. And then, if you like, an issue that ties politics and the coronavirus together, which is the progress towards a stimulus bill, or maybe not progress at the moment. But there are, of course, potential kind of corporate drivers of the market too. We're heading into the depths of the third quarter reporting season, and to the extent that there's new news in there, those reports could move the market. So I guess people are probably kind of fairly well positioned for where they think earnings are going to come in. But, you know, there could potentially be kind of interesting commentary on how chief executives see the coming quarters and how much of a rebound in consumer confidence they're seeing. And if there's a strikingly positive tone taken by some of these reports, then that could potentially help boost the market a bit.
Just ahead, more Americans are using their mailbox to get to the ballot box. We'll crunch the numbers on whether the mail will be delivered on time after a quick break. The U.S. Supreme Court has rejected requests by Democrats to allow pandemic-related changes to voting rules in the battleground state of Wisconsin. It means that mail-in ballots must be received by Election Day. 1 week before Election Day, more than 62 million Americans have already voted. That's already millions more early votes than the entire 2016 presidential election. Voters have been warned to mail their ballots at least a week ahead of time. But our new reporting reveals that may not be enough time in some states. Joining us now is WSJ reporter Rob Barry. He's been working with a team of reporters using data analysis and near real-time tracking of millions of pieces of mail in order to see what's really going on out there. Hi, Rob. Good morning.
Hi, Mark. Good morning.
So, Rob, before we look at your specific findings, let's establish why you did the story. Just because your ballot may have a postmark by Election Day, that may not be enough for your vote to count.
That's right. In fact, a majority of states require ballots to be in either on or before, even in some cases, Election Day. So, you know, if you send your ballot out the day before, 3 days before the election, thinking it'll be postmarked on time, that's not the case, actually, in a large number of states.
Let's talk about what's at stake here, because we are in the middle of a pandemic. Mail-in voting has taken on an importance and significance never seen before, perhaps.
Oh, that's absolutely right. I mean, in the past few weeks, the post office says it's processed more than 23% more mail than they did in September. And they see a lot of that as election mail pieces. And in fact, as of a few days ago, about 35 million ballots had been returned, which is already more than our tally for 2016.
Focusing on your reporting, what did you discover? Just how long is it taking for mail to arrive?
Well, so it really varies around the country, and it also varies, I think, importantly, from week to week. So this summer, we had some really serious slowdowns, and then going into September, we had delays where mail was taking longer than 6 days on average in almost every state. So we saw some improvements going into early October, but the last couple of weeks have started to see delays crop up again, including in some of these battleground states that have strict mail-in ballot requirements. So some states like Arizona, which has a lot of mail-in voting already, was pretty slow. Michigan had also quite slow delivery times. Those are two competitive states that were struggling with that. Wisconsin looked like it was also another state that was having some slowdowns. Whereas other states like Florida, which obviously is one of the most important battleground states, had fairly delivery times seemed fairly good there. So, you know, but again, this is a week by week thing. So we just don't know what the picture will look like in this week going into, you know, Election Day itself.
This was an involved project. How did you and your colleagues track these delivery times? You did a lot of research on your own as well.
Yeah, I mean, one of the ways we did it, probably the way we got the national picture was we partnered with a firm called Grayhair Software, which tracks millions and millions of letters every week going across the whole country. And they have really robust data on delivery times in every state. And so we took a look at all first-class letters, which were the closest we can get to what election mail looks like. Like I said, the post office does say it's prioritizing ballots a little bit more than that. And we can see that these average delivery times really vary widely across the country, according to the Grayhair data. You know, some places being quick, three days on average, and some places being slower, 6, 7, even 8 and 9 days at times.
In response to your reporting, what did the Postal Service have to say? I mean, it's obviously been under a lot of scrutiny lately.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, they say that they are, first of all, they point to the improvements in early October as, you know, showing that things are getting better than they were in the summer. And they also say that they've allocated additional resources to the handling of election mail. You know, so this would include overtime, extra trips, and expanding processing procedures as needed.
So, Rob, 1 week until Election Day, what can you do? Obviously, this is concerning to voters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so if you're voting absentee, so if you're voting from another state, it's really important that you get your ballot out now, because those are the mail pieces that take the longest to travel across the country. But even if you're in a state that has a rigid deadline for when the vote has to arrive, when the ballot has to arrive, you know, it's good to get it out now. That would be the best solution. On the Wall Street Journal's website, on the story we're talking about and on some other stories, you can actually find information in many states about not only what the deadlines are for requesting ballots and when they have to be postmarked or when they have to be received, but also information in many cases about tracking the status of the ballot you've already submitted.
The Wall Street Journal's Rob Barry. Rob, thanks very much.
Mark, thanks for having me.
And finally, whether they are Bernedoodles, Sheepadoodles, or just your average Rottweiler, pandemic puppies are in high demand. People are home more with time to train a new four-legged friend, and that's led to a puppy boom. And some of those new owners are going to great lengths to get the dog of their dreams. Our reporter Michael Phillips says they're tapping into a network of specialists who fly or drive all across the country delivering dogs.
People don't go into this to make a lot of money. Some, you know, do it because it is a job, and some do it just because they love puppies. I mean, Sue Murphy is, she's one of the flight nannies. It's probably on the road 4 or 5 days a week, and sometimes just day trips. So she'll go from Colorado to New York City, drop off a dog, come back the same day.
And yes, we have pictures of the pups and their new parents on our website, WSJ.com. And that's what's news for Tuesday. We're back tonight with a new show. If you like us, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.